All right, gang, here we go. It is another edition of the John DeBella Show Daily Podcast. Pardon my cold. It's not contagious through the speakers, I swear. It's Tuesday, June 11th, and all the good stuff from today's morning show is right here for you from the John DeBella Show. We started off with another big poppy update of the former Red Sox slugger who got shot down in the DR. He's doing all right, but we got some more details. Kind of interesting. What side of the bed do you sleep on? That was the question in the 6 o'clock hour with some rather interesting psychoanalysis of the type of person you might be, determined by your bedside manner. We put out a veterans plea today in support and promotion of the upcoming Veterans Radiothon. We wanted to hear from you, our audience members who are veterans, and what returning from war was like and what services were or weren't available to you. Basically to just give a sense of what we're trying to accomplish on Friday. That Tornadoes guy from Central PA who went viral this week, he's back, sort of. Somebody did a little remix in tribute to him. The NBA Finals had a rather interesting game last night, which we touched on before heading to Ghosts of Music Past. A thrilling edition of Ghosts of Music Past. John basically digs up old tracks from famous artists before they were famous in their early acts. And Steve and I have to guess who they are. Plus, the hot topic online right now is a threat of sorts from Justin Bieber aimed at Tom Cruise. Very strange stuff. And of course, that demands our attention. We gave it plenty today. Here we go. Find out for yourself. It is the Daily Podcast.
So Big Poppy, we were talking about this yesterday, in worse shape than we even expected yesterday. It seemed yesterday the message was he got shot in the back and just went through him and out his stomach.
Right.
But now it's what, his small intestines, his large intestines?
It hit part of his small and large intestine. It hit his liver. They had to remove his gallbladder, which doesn't matter,
right,
just to get to everything to do the surgery. But they said he should be fine. He should recover with no problems.
That's awesome.
I thought I heard that the Red Sox organization sent a plane down.
They sent an ambulance plane down
to bring
him back to Boston. Yeah. The wild part about all of this is what you had to say yesterday. The fact that you just couldn't believe they didn't use the quality health care that they have in the Dominican Republic.
Right. Mm-hmm. I also saw this morning that it looks like it was a hit. Not even a robbery.
Yeah.
If you see the video, it's pretty apparent.
Yeah, the video came out after the first report that said a robbery.
He's lucky he didn't get shot in the head because the guy comes right up behind him, pops him, and then
the guy Ortiz was talking to, the bullet came out of Ortiz and into the other guy.
Wow. Really?
Right? Got the guy in the leg or something like that.
They had to amputate that guy. He didn't get the same health. No, I'm kidding.
He got Dominican health care.
50% chance they took the leg.
He got a good cigar.
The John DeBella Podcast.
It gets ridiculous, some of these things.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
Just ridiculous. It's evil.
102.9.
Ridiculous.
MGK.
I saw some research and a survey that came out yesterday. What side of the bed you sleep on says a lot about you. What side of the bed do you sleep on, Dave?
On the left.
On your
left? Forever the left, yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, even when we switched houses.
Now, are you the left when you're facing the bed?
Yeah.
Or are you the left when you're in the bed?
Yeah, if you're facing the bed, I'm on the left.
Okay, all right. What about yourself, Steve?
Left. Same as Dave, left.
Really?
We sleep together, yeah.
Really? You do?
Right. On top of each other,
obviously. I wasn't always the left.
Uh-huh.
I was the right forever until we had Steven. I just showed you guys a photo. The last time I slept on the right side of the bed was like the second day we got Stephen back from the hospital.
Right. Oh, that's the one with your hand hanging out of the bed and onto the bassinet.
First kid, I got my arm around him while I'm sleeping with him.
I sleep on the right, and I am so used to sleeping on the right that if I'm in bed alone, I can't get comfortable on the left side of the bed.
Really?
Right? Yeah. It's just an odd thing. Also, has a lot to do with where the TV is. All right. So the question at hand. So there is information behind left side sleepers and right side sleepers, but I don't want to give it out just yet. Mm. I want to open this up to the audience. So give us a call, text into us to MGK MGK. That's 645-645. If you sleep left or right, text 1 for left, 2 for right to MGK MGK. That's 645-645, and we'll let you know what right and left mean, at least according to this research. I wouldn't lose sleep over it, but at least you'll understand the meaning. As far as the what side of the bed do you sleep on, Cindy, how about yourself? What side of the bed do you sleep on?
If you're facing the bed, I'm on the right.
You're on the right.
I'm not like stuck to that. Like if we go on vacation, I'll switch it up. I'll go both ways with the bedside.
Uh-huh.
Although Randy
Naughty.
Doesn't really like the change, but I will.
All right. And I'm a righty also. Dave and Steve are both on the left-hand side. And it seems that 53% of the people entering their votes into our webpage went with left-hand side as well. 47 went with right. So it's about even. And here's what they're saying about this. 40% of people actually choose the side of their bed because it's the one that makes it easier for them to get out of bed, right? You know, but 31% of them sleep on the side that they do because their partner prefers the other side, right? So they go, okay, fine, I don't care. I'll go sleep over here.
Right.
But according to the research, right, those people who sleep on the right-hand side of the bed tend to prefer rock music and action films.
Hmm.
All right.
Nope.
And the folks that sleep on the left side of the bed enjoy oldies music and drama films.
Big nope.
Yeah.
We have to change things in our household.
The John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
You know, with the Radiothon coming up this Friday, and one of the things that we find to be one of the biggest issues that men and women coming out of the armed forces have, it's acclimating themselves to civilian life. You know, especially if you spent more than 3 or 4 years. I mean, those people who are like career people or stayed in for 10, 12 years where everything is being taken care of by the government, right? They come out, right? And all of a sudden their life is turned upside down. Now, I am just sort of curious because we've never asked listeners about this. If you are a vet and, you know, and if you're a vet, I'm curious what transition to civilian life was like for you and if you needed help. Because a lot of times PTSD doesn't doesn't happen while they're in the service.
Right.
It happens during the transition or once they're back to, you know, being a civilian. You know, so I'm curious of what it was like, and we would love to talk to some of you. Now, I realize especially for men and women returning from Vietnam, they went through something that no soldier should ever go through. No, you know, nobody in the armed forces should go through, which was they were spit upon, they were cursed at, they were, you know, yelled as baby killers.
Sure.
Right? That aspect we understand. I'm more interested in what is it like for you, or what was it like for you to adapt to civilian life? Because this is one of the things that the VMC really, really prides himself with, helping men and women who are dealing with PTSD, who are dealing with just the transition and have absolutely nothing in their lives, right? They've been, you know, living, you know, off the government. They had their houses, they had, you know, their food, everything was taken care of. And all of a sudden, they've got nothing, right? And it's one of the reasons why we do the Radiothon. So what was it like for you? Call us here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK, and we'd just like to know what that transition was like.
The John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
My thanks go out to Ms. Eileen Arisoto. I believe the print is small. I'm having a hard time with this. From Springfield, PA, sent me a check for the Veterans Radiothon, right, for $25.
Oh,
I mean, and that's nice. That's great help. That's the first check I got in the mail. You don't have to send them directly to us here at the station. If you go to pavets.com or pavets.org, rather, that's the VMC, and there's an address right there you could send them to. You can make a donation right now. You know, one of the things it's opening this year is the Edison 64 project.
Yeah, what is this?
Edison 64, Edison High School was not only lost more students in the Vietnam War than any school in the nation. As a matter of fact, 10% of the names that are on the wall in Washington, D.C. come from Edison High School.
Get out.
Right? And the VMC has taken it over. They have they've refurbished the entire thing, turned it into an apartment complex that can have 66 different vets living in it permanently, if they want to stay there permanently, or use it for transitional purposes, whatever it is, right? That is from the money that we've raised, right, that listeners have donated over the course of the past few years to help that project come together.
If they want to go donate, it's vmcenter.org.
They changed it.
Vmcenter.org.
Vmcenter.org. But the question at hand, and we've got a couple of guys on the phone right now, is, look, none of us were in the service, not myself, not Steve, not Dave. I mean, the closest I came into being in the service was I was a Boy Scout, right? That's as close as I got to a uniform of any kind, right? Men and women came back from multiple wars, right? And that transition to civilian life, which is one of the things that the VMC is so good with helping with, is one of the most difficult things that these men and women have to go through. And I wanted to talk to a couple of people, and we've got Buddy on the line here. Good morning, Buddy. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I am well. So we're asking people, we're asking vets, what was it like making that transition from being in the armed forces to coming into civilian life? What was the hardest thing for you?
When I went into service, everybody had short hair and we were drinking beer. When I got out, people had long hair, smoking pot, and I missed Woodstock by 2 weeks.
Okay.
Wow. All right. So that was a challenge.
But in all seriousness, right, what was the hardest part of you transitioning back into civilian life?
When I got home, of course, I took it easy. I collected unemployment for a while, and then it was the job search. And that was a little difficult because, you know, you're in the service and you're trained a certain way, and now I've got to find a civilian job. And that was a little difficult, but I made it.
That's the great thing about the VMC, was this is one of the things that they pride themselves in, their ability to either train, help somebody find a job, or retrain them in a field that they will get a job in. It's really one of the great things that they do.
Buddy, what did you end up doing for work once you did get a job?
I worked in construction for years. And then I got a job with Sony Music, and I made CDs, DVDs, and PlayStations.
Oh, wow.
That's a big change.
That is a big change. Well, Buddy, yes. Thank you so much for the information and the insight, and hopefully for you and so many other vets, we're going to collect a lot of money this Friday for the Veterans Radiothon. Let me move over to Liam. Good morning, Liam. How are you?
Yes. Is this Steven?
No, this is John. John DiBella Show.
Oh, okay, John. I want to talk about present time right now for veterans that's going to be experienced, the Veterans Administration.
I got to tell you, Liam, you know, recently there was a poll where they asked Americans what their favorite government service is and what was the worst. And we're talking about hundreds of government services. And you would think that like something like the IRS would come in. Coming in at number one was the Postal Service. Hmm. I mean, think about it. If I gave you 75 cents, would you take this letter to California? You know, of course not. And coming in last was the VA.
They were the least. They were the least liked.
The absolute least like. As a matter of fact, one of the things that the VMC is really, really does really well is navigate people through all of the VA crap.
Wow.
They spend so much time working on that and helping people get the things that they deserve. That's one of the reasons why we're involved with the VMC. Nobody in this city does more for vets than the Veterans Multi-Service Center. So please, this coming Friday, we're asking you, do what you can, make the donation you can. You've got some time to ask friends, ask family to donate with you and make your donation that much larger. All of the information is sitting at WMGK.com. So please do what you can to help us with the Veterans Radiothon this coming Friday. We'll be broadcasting live from the National Constitution Center at 6th and Arts Streets from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
The John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
So, Cindy, you remember our friend from yesterday.
We didn't have tornadoes here until we started putting into traffic circles. Because on the county, you want to know why? That when people go round and round in circles, it causes disturbance in the atmosphere and causes tornadoes.
That's it. Now that we finally know what the answer to why we have tornadoes. And if you did not hear that yesterday, that's some guy in central Pennsylvania calling into a local television station to explain why we've been having tornadoes in Pennsylvania.
Guy needs his own show.
Right. Well, but you know, I might be able to get his own show. I don't know about that. But he did get his own song.
There once was a man from the Keystone State. Headed to work, he was running late. Merged onto the roundabout. Going too fast and he didn't get out. Three circles later made a sound that was like a train. The wind picked up and the radio telephone rang. He said, I told you haters, roundabouts make tornadoes. My F-150 just made an F5. You think I'm crazy, but the cows are flying. Silver radio whipped up another tornado. I think I know what's been going on around here. Traffic's circles change the atmosphere.
That's really good.
That's it.
That's really great.
Traffic circles change the atmosphere.
Our sister station next to you is playing a block of that later. if you're interested.
The John DeBella Podcast.
He's got this one wrong. Yeah, of course he's got it wrong.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9.
Everything out of his mouth is going to be wrong.
MGK.
Did you see or hear any of the Warriors GM Bob Myers?
I didn't hear any of it. I heard what he did.
It was very emotional. It was extremely emotional. Talk about Kevin Durant, and you know, it was sad.
Sure.
Although maybe a little too emotional for sport.
I think so.
Okay. Do you have a taste?
Well, I have a taste, but I made it even more emotional.
Okay. Oh, you did?
Because I took Henry Mancini's theme, Brian's song theme, and I put it behind it, right? And it's like, this, now get the tissues ready, folks.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it. I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world. And if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department. And let me tell you something about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant loves to play basketball. And the people that questioned whether he wanted to get back to this team were wrong. He's one of the most misunderstood people. He's a good teammate. He's a good person. It's not fair. I'm lucky to know him.
I'm crying.
Did I cry?
No.
And you know why?
No.
Because there's no crying. There's no crying. No crying.
The John DeBella Podcast. 102.9 MGK.
Will it work? Oh my God, it did work.
Is this the first time?
This is the first time I have used the echo. I don't like this echo. It sounds like
an echo.
It sounds like I'm the only person in church.
Yeah, it's extra cavernous.
It is. It is good time echo. For Ghosts of Classic Rock's Past. Now, I've got to tell you, I can find all of the names for bands that and whatever they were. It's finding music under those bands that becomes more and more difficult. Mm-hmm. And today, the first one that I'm going to challenge you to with is a band that started off as the Noble Five and then became the 1%.
Ooh.
And then moved on to something else. Now, I thought maybe there was a possibility that 1% might trigger you. Let me give you an idea about what the 1% sounded like. To their song.
You got anything? Allman Brothers.
Allman Brothers, you're saying?
Yes.
It's not a bad call. Nice little funky beat.
I want to get to the bridge here, so.
Okay.
Still think almonds?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
All right.
This is one of those where once it is unveiled, we're going to smack ourselves because it was so obvious.
What are you going with?
I'm going to go... It's a band, you said? It's not
it's
an
a
artist?
Band. It's a band.
Jeez. Oh, how do you feel about almonds? Was that a gut? Was that deep in your gut?
That was the first thing that came to my mind when I first... The beginning of the song.
All right, let's go with it.
Go with almonds?
Yep.
As I like to say, close.
Two beats.
But no guitar. No, Leonard Skinner.
Oh!
Yeah.
Leonard Skinner, Gary Rossington, Alan Collins, Valerie Trunkson, and Bob Burns began playing together as teenagers. They were the Noble Five.
Oh, cool.
Then they became the 1%. And then, the whole thing with the gym teacher happened because he didn't want any long-haired kids in class.
Right.
And his name was Leonard Skinner. Right, and from the rest is history. So you got that one wrong this morning.
We're on the right track, though.
Good. We were close. Yeah.
You were close.
I'm pretty
you
proud
were
of
close.
Myself.
Let me move you on to now. For a lot of listeners, especially in this town, a lot of listeners will know when I say Garden Wall or Anon, right? Who these bands were, because Garden Wall and Anon combined to become another band. Oh, wow. Okay. And this is what they sound like.
The silent sun that never shines. She is the warmth.
I have no idea.
Oh my god. I just see flowers going into rifles.
Yeah, right.
This is so light.
Baby, you feel so close.
Now, they were local, you said?
No, I did not say they were local at all.
They were must have been well-known here.
Yeah, they're very well-known here.
You think it's a prog rock band?
I think it's a prog rock band.
It's very possible it's a prog rock band.
All right, so... Could be yes.
It could be yes, of course. Genesis. I don't.
Could
be Genesis. I mean.
Could this be early?
There are Philadelphians who are screaming at you right now just because I said it was Garden Wall.
Maybe. You know why? Garden Wall does ring a bell for Genesis, actually, in my head, now that I think about it.
You know what? Me too.
They're both G's. Genesis. Let's say Genesis.
Genesis indeed. Genesis indeed. This is the last song that they recorded as Garden Wall. It's called The Silent Sun, but it's the first song that was released as Genesis. Right? And,
oh, get out. Yeah, it was the Genesis of Genesis.
It was the Genesis of Genesis. Jonathan King, the man who did Everyone's Gone to the Moon, was a major producer, and one of the bands that he discovered was Genesis. The other band was, what was it, the Bay City Rollers.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Cool.
Jonathan was never hurting for money.
Okay.
All right. Here is your last one, and if you guys don't get this, I'm going to be laughing my ass off for so long.
The Kinks.
Okay? Here we go.
I believed you. I believed you. Now it's up to me.
These are the Ravens.
I believed you. Believe what you said.
Dave, those guitars sounded like the Rolling Stones at first, but I mean, that's obviously not Mick.
Yeah, well, probably around the time that this was recorded, everything sounded like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, right. That 20.
Even the Rolling Stones sounded like this.
Right.
This is from 1963.
Oh, Beatlemania.
Jeez. I kind of want to stay with the Kinks.
It wouldn't be a bad guess, honestly.
What are you going to go with?
It just sounds like so much other stuff from that time period. It's not signature.
They were the Ravens?
They were the Ravens.
Oh, boy. But are they elite? That's the question.
Well, Joe Flacco is.
Oh, man. Are they British?
They are British.
That sounded very British.
Dave?
I'd go with, like, someone... Kinks. You think it's the Kinks?
No, I have no idea. It's the Kinks. It's the Kinks. Look at his face. Look at the S.E. Ingrid in his face.
No,
it's
John's
the Kinks.
Doing it just because we would never think it after saying it all those times. Reverse psychology.
Give me the bell.
Kickery.
It is, in fact, the Kinks.
Boom. Before he even played it.
That was phenomenal.
You have said the Kinks to absolutely every song I have ever put on the radio. And today was the first time you didn't say Kinks to the first two songs.
Yes.
I'm going like, oh my God, I'm going to finally get him with the Kinks.
Yes.
But no, that is the Kinks as the Ravens.
What about
Ray and Dave, you know, started a band with Pete Quaife, and they were the Ray Davies Quartet. And then their drummer quit, and you know, next thing you know, what's his face is in it. I can't remember. Mick Avery, right, joins the band. And their manager, Larry Page, suggests that they rename the band the Kinks because of their fashionable clothing. And later on, Ray Davies said, of course, I never liked that game.
John DeBella.
Here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
102.9 MGK.
I don't know why this started, but it's the talk of the interwebs. Justin Bieber has called out Tom Cruise for a fight.
Saw that.
Right, you know, and there's no rhyme or reason to it at all. All he put up on Twitter, I want to challenge Tom Cruise to a fight in the octagon. Tom, if you don't take this fight, you're scared and you will never live it down. Right. And, you know, who's willing to put on this fight? At Dana White. Dana White is an MMA promoter.
Right.
All right. The only one who has responded is Conan McGregor. Right. Who saw it?
You know, say.
Yeah. He says, if Tom Cruise is a man, right. enough to accept this challenge. McGregor Sports and Entertainment will host the bout.
So a 25-year-old wants to fight a 56-year-old.
Right,
that's cool.
Right. And you know what? My money's on Cruz.
Of course it
There's
is.
There's no way my money wouldn't be on Cruz.
Oh, my God. You got to put in the crazy factor.
Because you don't want to fight crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy is that. No, you never fight crazy.
It's a guy who will do anything to entertain an audience.
Right.
He'll jump out of a plane 200 times.
He does all his own stunts. This is not a weak man. He's also not a tall man, but I don't think he's any shorter than Justin Bieber.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I suppose you know what it is about you that fascinates him.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
It's the hair on your chest.
102.9.
Ooh, wow. I didn't expect that at all. I really didn't expect that.
MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.